Well, I mean, we've had staff changes this year on offense, and I think anytime you have change, you redo your job description, and you look at all the dynamics of everything. You know, who's in charge of red zone, who's presenting the third down, and how everything is put together. And frankly, you know, if you're looking for a core belief on how you administer your offensive coaches on game day, the quarterback coach historically has sat with the quarterback on game day. Now, when Tom made the change from quarterback coach to offensive coordinator, you know, based on the experiences of the other coaches, we kept Tom on the field. So we've had a change. Alex Van Pelt's now the quarterback coach, and we just did, you know, really the dynamics of between really Alex and Tom and myself, and obviously the quarterback group, particularly Aaron. You know, we felt this was the best way to go. I mean, Tom's had experience at both. Alex has actually had experience both up top and on the field. And after we talked about it, you know, the preference would be for the quarterback coach. And my preference would be for the quarterback coach to stay with the quarterback. So we'll try it out, and we'll see how it goes.
As the play caller, what's the critical information you need from up top?
Well, I think everybody gets the same information. You know, the thing that makes the process work the best is the efficiency and the speed of the information. I mean, I think it's like any job. You're only as good as the information that you're given, the accuracy of it and the timing. So that's what I'm looking for, especially just the way we're designed with the play caller being also the head coach and, you know, having game management responsibilities and, you know, not having the ability to leave the sideline to go communicate with the quarterback group or the offensive players. I know in my earlier years as a head coach, I got caught over there at the bench a few times where I should have been out on the sideline. So, you know, you learn from that, and you do other things where use other people, and that's what we're going to do this year to get the information to me a little quicker. And but you know, it's a veteran staff. The network of communication is really good. Our players are really good as far as communicating position to position. So, but really for myself, is the timing of it's the most important. That was a long answer. Sorry about that.
Mike, it's preseason for you as a play caller too. I mean, is that you kind of own your skills or?
Absolutely. I mean, preseason to me, I'm really looking forward to the game Saturday on a number of fronts. But for me personally, I'm excited to go call a game. I mean, it's awesome to call an offensive football game in the NFL. I mean, I've always enjoyed it, and as a young coach, you always aspire to be the play caller. So, yeah, definitely, I'm looking forward to getting in there and competing and making sure, you know, giving the quarterbacks and the offense the, you know, clean plays and an opportunity. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I got to get back in the rhythm and get back into study patterns. I think every head coach in the league goes through it during training camp. You are stretched in different directions. That's no different for me this week.
Like, with this change you're instituting 48 hours before kickoff, how long do Saturdays, or in this case the day before a game, be different from what it was in the past?
Well, really, I mean, from your perspective, which what you saw on Friday, you will now see on Saturday. And so and what you didn't see on Saturday is now going on Friday. And that's really what the change is. So, and it's really – it's, you know, there's sports science components in everything you do. I mean, you know, every workout, you know, that our football team goes through, whether it's in the weight room, whether it's in OTA practice, you know, any time that the team takes the field and there's physical activity, there's a scientific approach to every one of those. So, and it has been as far as I can remember, and I know it has been since I've been here. So it's, everything's always looked at. There's conversations of, you know, similarly training your team in the off season as in season, and you know, so I mean, there's different theories, there's different philosophies, but really from your perspective, that's the change.
Well, that then carry over, and you've been very consistent with how you travel and your time.
Yes. We kept that. That was important for me to stay on that time clock, and we were able to accomplish that. And we're traveling later, you know, going down to Tennessee than we normally have, but that's because we're doing more tomorrow's practice than we would on a 53-man roster.
What do you look for, Mike, from a first preseason game?
I'm looking for players to jump out. I want someone to jump out and do exactly what they're supposed to do, you know, with the energy and the efficiency that you say, hey, I got to give that young man more opportunities. So it's very important for all of our younger players to play. I think in the past, sometimes I didn't play some guys early enough. So I want to make sure our young players, you know, play predominantly the whole fourth quarter is my goal.
So if somebody jumps that you really maybe haven't anticipated, you work them into more reps to give them longer looks like next week and as we progress so they can earn really more snaps?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, the practice schedules don't get any longer, you know, from between now and the rest of training camp. So, I think every coach wants to be efficient with their, you know, how they utilize the reps, what they're trying to get their unit to accomplish. But also, you know, from Ted Thompson and I's perspective, we want to make sure we're getting as much information and we're creating as much opportunities for these guys to, you know, pick the best 53 players for the Green Bay Packers. It's not going to be as a standard, it won't be the most talented 53. I mean, it'll be the best 53 players that we feel gives us a chance to win a championship. We have seven guys that won't make the trip. I have them right here, obviously Jared, and then Don, Barkley, Morgan Burnett, Latron, Colt, Tanner Miller, and Jarrell Worthy. Those seven will not travel to Tennessee.
You get a sense for Morgan in terms of timeline yet?
I'm hopeful next week. We're not in the same category as what Doc told me.
Investment you've made in Ha-Ha. I mean, is he competing to keep his starting job? I mean, I know everyone's competing, but mm-hmm. Is that a little more open than maybe we might have thought?
I mean, once again, I look at Morgan Burnett as a starter, but we don't get caught on 11 players. I mean, especially the emphasis for our whole defense is to play more players. So, Morgan's going through, this situation right now, medically, and he'll. He'll come back from it and he'll jump right back in there. But we need as many many guys as possible to get ready. And this is the first time Mike has played back here, so this will be great for him to get more reps. Obviously Ha-Ha being a rookie, and I'll tell you what, Sean Richardson's had a hell of a training camp. I mean, I've been impressed with him both defensively and special teams. I mean, he needed to pick it up on special teams, and Sean's done a lot of good things. So and you could say the same thing about Chris Banjo. So this is good for the whole group.
You've been pleased with the tempo in these practices and how the players have absorbed the playbook, but how much is the quality of quarterback play you're getting from Matt, Scott, Chase help execute that in practice?
Well, really your quarterback and your offensive line really control the tempo of the practice. And that's particularly why, as a head coach, I make sure I call the plays at practice because the conditioning component is part of it. So how do you control that? And our offensive line, takes great pride in that. The ability to get in and out of the huddle, and they take that as a responsibility. And I think James Campen does a great job of coaching that and emphasizing it. And you hear the veteran players echoing all the time. And even more importantly, they want to practice that way because that's the way they want to play. So with that, I'm very pleased with how the group has operated and. In the function of our practices, I think I said this in here before. I don't know if we've ever had an installation practice where we finished, plus 10 or plus 11 minutes early. And that's a direct, reflection of players getting in and out of the huddle and offensive defensive coaches getting to play in. And we coach off the tape. It's a philosophical approach that we take. Some coaches like to stop the play and teach right on the field. I mean, that's the other way to do it. We want the tempo, and we coach off the tape, and I've been very pleased with the way it's gone.
Like, as I recall, the first week, I think there were a couple penalties from whichever reps were there on those particular days for too many defensive players on the field. Mm-hmm. As much substitutions and things you guys want to do this year, is that an important part of your game management stuff that you're trying to get into these guys for even this game on Saturday night?
I appreciate your awareness of practice. I'll tell you that. Or you're looking at my notes, but definitely. I mean, every NFL team I've ever been on, you know, preseason personnel, substitution's a challenge, especially for special teams coaches. I mean, they have a huge challenge, especially you're going to Tennessee. It's going to be hot. You know, things happen. They're going to happen. So getting those guys in and out. Now you say you want to be more versatile in your defensive personnel, major emphasis. Yeah, so we need to do a better job. If you know, the substitution patterns that we've instituted, you know, we've had some mistakes through training camp, and that's definitely a focus as we move forward.
Two more, please.
Mike, is it hard to, as a head coach, you have guys in the locker room before a preseason game, you've been through it dozens of times, you got a whole bunch of other guys, this is like their first time under the lights in the NFL. As a head coach, do you do anything to sort of say anything about the emotions of those young guys, or do you just say, hey, they're pros now, they got to figure it out?
I think like everything in this business, you enjoy it, and I think the biggest thing from a coach's perspective is that to get your players in the right mindset to compete. So that's part of having your finger on the pulse of the team and understanding, you know, everybody's background, who, you know, just being aware in pregame, and I'm not just talking about myself, but also the position coaches are very much in tune with that. So you know, certain guys, whether they play 10 years in a league or, you know, or it's their first year, certain guys, things happen to them before the game. You know, I've seen it go on and on. So, I mean, certain guys are nervous. I mean, it's all part of the personality and makeup of the professional football player. And once again, I don't think people realize, you know, really the stress that these guys go through, whether it's going through a training camp and preparing to go compete for the first time for their job coming this Saturday.
Mike, just what do you want to see out of JC? You know, with him finally getting some game reps now at that center spot.
Just want to see him play. You know, I just want to see him improve on the things that he's been working on in practice, and I'm confident he'll do that. So, I mean, him and Corey both need to play.